Welcome to Souls Harbor Church. We're glad you're here. You can also join us in person at 2601 North Meridian in Wichita, Kansas. We have services at 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. on Sundays and 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights. We are a place of grace and a Bible-believing Pentecostal church where everyone is welcome to come and experience God. On behalf of Pastor Clark and all of us at Souls Harbor, I invite you to come and worship the Lord with us. I know you'll be blessed. Now let's join the service.
You and I want you to center, especially on the Lord Jesus. I want to lift him up. I want you to see another side of him, or another side of you, maybe, or another side of me, whichever it is. That I think that God will kind of speak to your heart this morning. Father, we thank you today, Lord, that we can remember, and God, we can rejoice in the memory of our Lord and our Savior. God, we thank you today for those that are here. And Father, we pray that you would move, that you would bless, and God, you would, Lord, minister your word. God, open the ears of your children, open their hearts. God, open their mind, Father, to realize the goodness of God. And I'll be careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Matthew chapter number 27, I'm going to read a few scripture there before we really get into the word of the Lord, beginning at verse number 28. And I want you to get a vision of this. I want you to begin to think about it. I want you to place it in your mind this morning and think about what the scripture said. We're talking about Jesus and about his suffering. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And then they spit upon him and took the reed that was in his hand, took it out of his hand, the Bible said, and they smote him on the head with that reed that Jesus had within his hand. And after that, they mocked him, and they took the robe off from him and put his garment, his old garment, on him, and led him away to crucify him. And as they, drop that and go down to verse number 35. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. Then verse number 46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice. And I want you to pay attention to that. With a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, Lamai Sabethani," that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And then verse number 50, and Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, again a loud voice, we've got two of those notations here, with a loud voice yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints were slept. They arose and came out of the graves after the resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion saw that they were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God. Two different areas here that the Bible said that Jesus spoke with a loud voice. And the first time was, and I think kind of in a, you may differ with me, but that's all right. But I kind of feel like it might be a little of fear or something that entered his heart. That when he was on the cross and when he was being crucified, that there was a moment of time there that when God turned his back on his Son, because he could not look upon sin, and Jesus was bearing the sins of the entire world. And for a short time there, Jesus felt that he had been forsaken by the Heavenly Father, that he come to do his will. Jesus said, "I come to do thy will, O God," and he come to do his will, and now God has seemingly forsaken him, and he cried with a loud voice, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And then the other the verse he spoke again with a loud voice. I wonder sometime maybe that Jesus again was crying out unto God with all sincerity in his heart, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you turned your back on me that I would have to bear this entirely by myself? And when you get a picture of that, and I began to think about that when I was studying it, I was praying about the message, and I thought about Calvary, and I thought about the suffering that Jesus went through. And I want you to think about this for just a little bit. You know that the Bible said that they beat him with a cat of nine tails. The Bible said that they put the crown of thorns upon his head. They spit upon him. They mocked him, and they said all kinds of things. They smote him with the reed that they had within their hand, and all kinds of things that was going on. And I thought to myself, God, I wonder, maybe I shouldn't even say the word wonder, but I thought about if I had been in that position, would I have been able to go through what Jesus went through? And I'd rather doubt that I could have. And maybe, you know, maybe people say, well, would you have recanted? Would you have turned your back on the Lord? I don't know what I'd have done, but I don't know that I could have went through what the Lord Jesus went through, that you and I might be saved, that we might know him as our personal Savior. And he went through this, the whole thing for you and I. Now, I want you to turn with me to Romans chapter 5, and I want you to look at something very, very important here for just a little bit. The Bible said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That word therefore this morning means as a result of this, or for this reason, the result that Jesus went through, the price that he paid, therefore as a result of this and for this reason, the Bible said the word justified. Now what does the word justified? It means to be free. It means to be free of blame, acquitted, or absolved from all the sin and the corruption in our life. Therefore, because of what Jesus went through, we're justified by faith, or just as if we had never sinned. Now, this is good, but the other part of this said that we might have peace with God. Peace with God. Folks, let me tell you something this morning. God is a God of love, but God is a God of judgment as well. That in the Old Testament, God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah and other cities that were around about them, and the earth opened up at various times and swallowed people that were denying God, and all of these things were going on in the Old Testament. If man ever needed to be peace with a God, it's right here that we're justified by the Lord Jesus Christ, that you absolutely need peace with God. The Bible said the wages of sin is death. If you sin and you refuse the Lord Jesus as your redemption or as the pardon for your sin, if you simply refuse that because of a hardened heart, or because you think that you're somebody better and you can do what you want to do with your life, you're going to face an angry God. And you don't want to face an angry God. You know, if you look at God in the Old Testament and God in his anger, folks, you don't want to face an angry God that way, but you will face him, or we will face him, but we deny being justified through the atonement of the blood of Jesus Christ. Come on, be with me this morning. I want you to realize that being having peace with God is a great thing, because it gives you peace and joy and contentment, and it's a great thing. But if you don't have peace with God, and you think that you're going to face God in the latter of this life, or whenever you decide that it might be the right time for you, and you pass up when God comes by and speaks to your heart, and you're going through that, one of these days you're going to face an angry God. And the anger is only because that you have rejected his son that paid the price on Calvary that you and I could be saved. Now listen to verse number 2. It said, by whom we have access by faith. Amen. By whom we have access. Access to what? Access to God. That Jesus bridged the time from Adam unto the time that he died, and made, you know, man couldn't have access to God back there. There was 400 years between Malachi and Matthew where There was no contact with God whatsoever. They had no contact with Him. Can you imagine going through this life year after year, month after month, or day after day, and not be able to contact Almighty God, and not knowing if you're saved or unsaved, or what your eternity is going to hold for you? And that's the way it was. But when Jesus died, when He gave His life on Calvary, and when He suffered, and when he bled, and when He was forsaken by God for a period of time, and because of that, we have access to the Heavenly Father. The Bible said, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of God, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." How can you come boldly if you got sin in your life? You can't do it. You can't approach God with sin in your life. You've got to come through the atonement of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. That's the only access that you have to God. And ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something this morning. You will, and I will, stand before God someday. We will, according to the book of Revelation, we're going to stand before God. It's either going to be a God that's going to say, "Well done," or it's going to be an angry God that's going to say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, because you simply denied the way and the truth and the life that I provided for you." Oh, we stand up today and we think that we're somebody, men or women or young people or children or those that are able to even think about their salvation. We think that we're somebody today, but I'll tell you what, when you stand before God and you have rejected the supreme price that Christ paid, you and I will face an angry God. Come on. I want you to realize that this morning. Now the Bible said we have access unto God by faith, unto this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in the hope and the glory of God. And the Bible said, "And hope maketh not ashamed." Now in verse number 6, "For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." When you were unable to approach God, and there will be a time, listen to me, there will be a time in your life, doesn't make a difference how old you are or where you're at today, there's going to be a time in your life where you're going to need God. Come on, say amen. There's going to be a time. Young people, older people, seniors like myself, there is a time when you're gonna need God. You're going to want God. You're going to want to have access to God. And we had better, Bible said, to realize that our strength is nothing, but we need Jesus Christ and the hope of glory within our life. Verse number 9 said, "Much more than being now justified by what? Come on, by His blood. We shall be saved from wrath through Him. By His blood we're justified before God Almighty today." Romans chapter 6 and verse number 1. Now I want you to, we're going to kind of conclude this for communion, but I want you to look here at something very carefully. Because that you are saved or you reject Christ or whatever might be your life today, whether you're a Christian, not a Christian, or you're a lukewarm Christian, or you're unfaithful, or you serve God according to your conscience or rather than the Word of God, it doesn't make any difference. Here's what it said. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Shall we continue that? The Bible declares unto us, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" How are we going to escape it if we reject God's divine plan of salvation? Oh, you can reject it today. You can turn away from God. You can say, "Oh, I've got plenty of time." Or you maybe you're like some of us older ones, say, "Well, we don't know how much time we got." How are we going to continue that way? Because we know the grace of God is great, and God's going to forgive us, and God's going to help us. And so we don't worry so much about that, within our life. But listen to what God said in verse number 2. He said, what shall we say? That shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, "God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" How can we that are dead to sin live any longer in that sin? Ladies and gentlemen, you cannot do that. You've got to realize today that the grace of God has limitations. Now listen to me. You say, oh, I don't believe that. Well, you better believe it, because there is a deadline that you can cross when God will withdraw His Spirit or His pleading with you or trying to get you to come to Him. There is a place in God where He draws the line in the sand and say, if you cross that line, you're never, never going to be able to get saved. I remember an incident that I want to declare unto you that, and this really happened, believe me, it really did happen. There was a young lady that was serving God. She loved God with all of her heart. She was faithful to church. She came every service, brought her Bible, and came to the altar, and she prayed, and she loved God. But one day, a young man came in her life, and he was not a Christian. And the pastor began to warn her about this situation. And she said, now, pastor, you don't worry about this. I'm able to bring him in. I'll draw him in, and it'll be all right. He'll get saved. And so it went on for a while. They got married and started their family. And God kept dealing with her, kept speaking to her, kept trying to get her in, because she began to drop out of a Wednesday service. And then she dropped out of a Sunday service. And then on a Sunday, periodically, she came, or just whatever she felt like she ought to do. Not according to what God said, and to forsake not your assembly, the health of God. She just felt like she could do it any way she wanted to do it. And God spoke to her, and God dealt with her over and over again. And so finally one day her husband said, we're going to go to a tavern, or at that time it was a saloon. He said, we're going to go there. So she, in obedience to her husband, going there. And just as they got to the door, now folks, I'm not telling you a fallacy. I'm telling you this absolutely happened. She got to the door, and when she put her hand on the door, God spoke to her nearly audible and said, if you go in that door, and if you partake of that alcohol, you have crossed the deadline, and I'll never again speak to you. Her husband said, don't worry about it. It's not God, it's just your con. Don't worry about it. Come on, go in. She went in. And when she got in there, I can't partake of it, honey, I can't. No, it's all right. She took a drink of that alcohol, and instantly the Spirit of God departed. And I cannot tell you the terror. I cannot tell you the anxiety. I cannot tell you the suffering that hit her at that moment to nearly drive her mad and insane, because God had withdrew His Spirit. And that woman died and went to hell, lost and undone without God. I'm telling you, you cannot tread the blood of Christ under your feet. You cannot. God forbid that we should live a life according to what we feel like that is all right for us. We've got to live what God put in His Bible and live for Him with all of our heart, because we do not know the day nor the hour that we're going to stand before Him. You don't know that today. But listen to what God said. God forbid, how shall we that are dead in sin live any longer therein? But Jesus gave a way out of this. And He said in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, listen, He's faithful. And He's just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God's faithful. All you got to do is confess it. You say, preacher, you're preaching to a lot of saints of God. I'm telling you what God laid on my heart. I'm telling you this morning that we're in a perilous time today, and there could be somebody here going into eternity. I don't know what it is, but this thing has been on my heart so strong, and God has dealt with me about it. And Jesus said in Matthew 26:28, He said, this is my blood of the New Testament, which was shed for many for the remission of your sin. I say unto you today that Jesus Christ, in all of His glory, but in all of His suffering and agony and pain, He died for you and I. He gave His life on Calvary for you and I to live holy, clean, faithfully, unto the Lord Jesus. Not according to our feeling and not according to our own conscience, but according to His word, that we are to live holy and recognize today that Jesus Christ died, arose, ascended, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and He's making intercession for you and I before God Almighty. We have access to the throne of God today. We have access before God that we can come and repent of our sin. You say, Pastor, does Christians have faults, sin? Yeah. Yeah, we all do. That's why Jesus said, my little children, I don't want you to sin. I don't want you to transgress my law. But if you sin, you've got an advocate with the Father through Jesus Christ, the righteous, that you can repent, get it under the blood, and make sure beyond the shadow of any doubt that you're ready to stand before God and hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank You today, Lord, for the price and the sacrifice that, God, You gave on Calvary. When You gave the Lord Jesus, we know that, God, You can be an angry God. But we know that, God, You're a loving God, and, Father, You provide for Your children. And Lord, we thank You today for Jesus Christ, the hope of glory. We thank You, Father, today for the love of God and the mercy of God. We give You the glory, the praise, and the honor today in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Would the musicians please come back to the platform for a little bit here this morning? You don't have to be a member of this church to partake of communion. If you're a child of God, you love God with all of your heart, we encourage you to partake of communion this morning. For it's a type of the body, the broken body of the Lord Jesus and the shed blood that He gave on Calvary. I want to read to you the familiar scripture that Paul wrote unto the Corinthian church, where he said, I have received of the Lord. Paul said, I got this from God. I delivered unto you that the Lord Jesus, in the same night in which He was betrayed, He took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also, He took the cup. And when He had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do ye as oft as you do it, as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do shew the Lord's death till He come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, or if you're unsaved and you take it unworthily, you shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world.
Thanks for joining us here at Souls Harbor Church. We hope you've enjoyed spending time with us and hearing the Word of God. We invite you to join us live for the service and be part of all that God is doing here at Souls Harbor. Be sure to check back each week for our latest message. And in the meantime, be blessed in Jesus' name.